Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight, this February the 12th, from Washington, D.C. And tonight, well, we're going to be talking about, well, I think what can be best described as the crumbling of the edges of the American empire, with recent events in Tunisia, Egypt, now spreading to Algeria, Yemen, and Pakistan, which isn't getting much attention because something very significant happened there today. It looks like the whole Bush-Obama New World Order, the American Pax Americana, the world's only remaining superpower, all that nonsense is finally going the way of previous empires that were deluded in the fact that they thought they'd be around forever. The Roman Empire, Adolf Hitler's thousand-year Reich, all this stuff, all these empires have collapsed under their own dead weight, and it looks like finally, after long last, the American Empire is on the ropes because its client dictators are falling one after another, and this isn't stopping with Tunisia and Egypt. It's spreading around the world. But the power structure here in Washington, of course, they'll never get it. The Pentagon's asking for an increase in a defense budget for some of its toys. They've got to be told no. Enough is enough. We have people who don't have medical care in this country. We have people who are unemployed, people who are losing their houses. And Obama bails out billionaires, and now he's cutting off heating aid for the poorest of the poor. He's cutting off Head Start funding for kids in blighted communities. That was something started by Lyndon Johnson. So if Obama wants to act like a member of the Tea Party, well, like the tea in Boston Harbor, he's going to be dumped into the harbor along with the Tea Partiers who gathered this week in Washington, D.C. For the annual Conservative Political Action Committee. I noted that Ron Paul received 30% in this presidential straw poll more than anyone else, but that leaves 70% of the people there who support idiots like Michael Huckabee and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and some of these other kooks out there. Who are looking at the events in Tunisia and Egypt, and they think, oh, this is the rise of the Islamic Caliphate. These people read too many comic books. They're insane. And Obama's part of this global American order empire, New World Order. He's not getting the message as to what's happening in the Middle East right now, which is going to spread all through Africa. Latin America largely has already thrown off its American shackles, with a few exceptions. There's a few tin horn dictators still left in South America that the U.S. supports. But by and large, South America got the message. They no longer need the gringos telling them what to do. And now around the world, people are waking up to the same realization. And we can only hope that the end of this foolish American empire will not drag on. You know, when a horse breaks its legs or its leg after a race, you just put it out of its misery as fast as possible. It's a humane thing to do. And we will be right back with your phone calls and more news right after this short break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with Wayne Mattson Report, coming to you live this February 12th from Washington, D.C. And Well, it was a monumental week. We saw another U.S. client dictator, Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, stepping down. This follows the ouster of another U.S. client dictator in Tunisia, Ben Ali. This is a trend, and we'll be talking more about what dominoes will be the next to fall. But this is a good domino theory, not the insane domino theory we were sold on during the Indochina War. Hollywood and their friends in the media have always pictured Arabs as people who didn't seem to get it, couldn't be democratic, were members of Al-Qaeda, threw bombs, wore, had these beards, and they were sinister-looking. This is a construct that was set up by Hollywood and the Israel lobby to demonize an entire group of people. And it's been quite successful for them up until now, because what the people of Egypt and Tunisia have shown, that they get it, just like the people in Greece and the UK who are fighting against the oligarchs there. They get it. The Arabs are no different than anyone else. They understand who the true enemies in this world are, who the people are who suppress mass movements, and they have shown what can happen in both Tunisia and Egypt, and it will happen elsewhere. I want to play this clip. This was a comment that I made this past week on RT television, and this was as events were unfolding. Mubarak said he was going to go, then he didn't go, then he left the next day. But let's play this clip about where this may be heading and the demonization of groups just because they have Muslim in their name. We don't hear that kind of demonization about the Christian Democratic Party of Germany or any number of Christian Democratic parties around the world. We don't hear it about theocracies that runs Israel, which are religious parties. But we hear it anytime any party has the name Muslim in its name, all of a sudden we're told, oh, it's Al-Qaeda. It's not only annoying, but anyone who knows anything about the Middle East, and I've covered the Middle East and I've studied the Middle East for a number of years, it's insulting to anyone's intelligence who knows anything about the Middle East to have that kind of propaganda thrown out there by people who absolutely have no idea what they are talking about. It's one thing to have an informed opinion, but it's another thing to have an uninformed opinion because people watch Fox News and listen to these idiots like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh all day long. They are not informed opinions. That is just ill-informed claptrap. Let's play this clip of what I said on RT this past week.
Such an interesting report, you know, and one thing that stuck out to me is this person interviewed who said, you know, I've been watching President Obama and his bum must hurt because he's been sitting on the fence so much. Well, it begs the question, what is the U.S. role in all of this? Is there a role? Should there be? Is the U.S. government indeed hypocritical for supporting Hosni Mubarak for 30 years and now calling for something different? Or is it smart to be on the side of whatever Egypt wants? Joining me now is investigative journalist and RT contributor Wayne Madsen. And Wayne, we continue to hear words from President Obama, from Hillary Clinton, that things like rapid, smooth transition. But, you know, just today, President Obama also said the future of Egypt is going to be in the hands of Egyptians and that Mubarak will end up making the right decision on how to move forward. Why this backing away from taking one side or another?
Well, they remember, obviously, some folks remember what happened to President Carter, who was basically waffling on the issue of the Shah of Iran in 1978, when the Shah was on the ropes, 2 million people in the central square of Tehran, very familiar, we sent mixed signals there. The Shah thought he had our support. Well, he didn't after a while. I think the Obama administration is trying to buy time for Mubarak. After all, we've had a close intelligence and military relationship with Egypt ever since the Shah of Iran fell in Iran. Egypt has been our our major ally other than Israel in the region. Can you imagine the files in Cairo and the defense ministry and the security agencies that they have that could implicate the United States in everything from the CIA torture and rendition program, which started under President Clinton and was authorized by then Deputy Attorney General Eric Holder, current Attorney General. They have a lot of fingerprints all over the Egyptian regime. They want to make sure before there's a change that they can be assured that no smoking gun evidence is going to be coming out in Egyptian newspapers that will be free in a reform, under a reform government.
I want to talk now about the role of the Muslim Brotherhood. This is a group that we continue to hear more about as these protests continue. You know, I was reading earlier some of the words of a Muslim Brotherhood supporter who said, quote, "Our instructions are not to assume a role that is too visible at the moment, and to get along with all other groups, including the leftists and liberals. We also refrain from making our typically brotherhood chants, and when one of us does, we quickly shut him up." Any idea why this might be the case, while they're really trying to lay low here?
Absolutely. They saw how the Justice and Development Party, the AK Party of Turkey under Prime Minister Erdogan, has been demonized by the neocons in this country. It's the Turkish government, which has an Islamic bent, not Islamist, but Islamic bent, has been demonized as, oh, they're going to turn Turkey into another Iran. They don't want the same thing to happen in Egypt. So they're being very careful here, showing that, look, the Muslim Brotherhood does have democratic credentials. They do want to keep all the democratic institutions, but they don't want to give ammunition to the Fox Newses of the world and the John Boltons and all these other crazy right-wingers who will say, aha, you see, Obama has lost Egypt just like Carter lost Iran and ushering in an Islamist theocratic government. That's why they're being very careful. I think they're being very smart. And they're not Islamic. They're a moderate Muslim bent party. I mean, they tend in that direction. But the new the Ennahda party in Tunisia used to be very radical, like the Muslim Brotherhood, but it isn't anymore. It's very much similar to the Turkish AK party.
The question, of course, with them is even if they do have some sort of role in the future government of Egypt, is if they even have a plan or a system of governing. You know, speaking of the future, we've been talking a lot, sort of speculating about who will be the next leader. We've thrown out a lot of names, of course, al-Baradei, Mohamed Badia, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Another name today, just somebody who was kind of a big presence in Cairo today, and that's the Arab League chief, Amr Moussa. I want to know if you think that this is another consideration that we should be looking to when we talk about the next leader of Egypt.
Well, when you hear people like Abu Musa and you hear al-Baradei, obviously this is an interest in having a smooth, soft landing transition figure. Both these individuals, the Arab League Secretary General and the former director of the International Atomic Energy Agency, are well known internationally. They are international bureaucrats, civil servants. They represent that soft landing. Until there's free elections, these are transitional figures. Obviously, al-Baradei is the head of the National Association for Change, which includes all the parties, including the opposition parties that have been in the Egyptian parliament already, and some of the new faces, the April 6th movement, which was started on Facebook and represents more probably that Lotus Revolution, maybe ties to the United States and the Agency for International Development and the Soros people. But by and large, this is a popular revolution that runs the spectrum across the board from left to the Muslim Brotherhood and also Christians and Muslims alike. The Coptics are as much part of this as the Muslims in Egypt.
All right. RT contributor and investigative journalist Wayne Madsen.
Okay. Well, if you listen to Fox News now, all they're harping on is the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda. They're Johnny One Notes. They don't know anything else because they have an agenda, and their agenda is to maintain this status quo around the world, this war against this phony Al-Qaeda, which only exists in CIA databases. You have as much chance of encountering the Easter Bunny as you do a bona fide member of an organization like Al-Qaeda and all of its franchises that have opened up around the world, like Chick-fil-A franchises in this country. It's ludicrous. The Fox Newses of the world do not report news. They don't even report informed opinion. They report nothing more than neocon propaganda. And they and their friends, even in the other media, the CNNs, the Wolf Blitzers, the MSNBCs with all those pseudo liberals there, pseudo progressives, the Rachel Maddows of the world, and ABC, which is absolutely that's one of the most horrendous of the networks. NBC, of course, and CBS, all owned by an elite group of corporations that have their own agendas. But what we're getting from networks like Al Jazeera paints a much different picture of what's happened over there and what continues to happen over in that part of the world now. I want to also now play this clip of how this popular revolution around the Arab world is now playing out in other countries, and these also Algeria, Yemen, all headed up by American client dictators like Mubarak and Ben Ali. These people are on the ropes, just like everyone else in that part of the world. The Saudis being the big fish. It's going to take a while for them to fall. But let's play this clip. This is a report about what's happening now. Oh, yeah, we will play that clip right after this short break. This is Wayne Madsen from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report. And a toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program tonight, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Let's play this clip. This is a report on how protests against autocratic regimes backed by the Americans these are spreading. We have a report of from Jordan, Gaza, and then a report out of Turkey, if we can play this clip.
Celebrations for Mubarak's fall continue in Jordan. Here at the worker union's headquarters, the country's most politically motivated activists are calling this the most important Arab celebration in decades. This euphoric atmosphere stems from anti-Mubarak regime sentiments that have always been high here, because half of the country's population is of Palestinian origin, and Mubarak's policies vis-a-vis the Gaza Strip are viewed as widely unpopular. People are also capitalizing on this opportunity to call on Jordanian leaders to deliver the political and democratic reforms they have promised. There is no doubt that the celebrations here calling for an end to corruption and oppression by Arab countries will be ringing hauntingly in the ears of Jordanian officials.
Turks, you'd have to say, quietly pleased for what the Egyptians have achieved, that they stood firm for the democratic rights and that the whole situation didn't turn violent. Turks didn't want to see any more chaos in this region after Iraq. We look at this morning's papers, the people's victory, says this newspaper, and perhaps if we allow the Turks a little schadenfreude, they're confiscating his treasure, says this one. So, for the Turkish voice, what they feel about this, I have Türkçe with me here in Taksim Square. Türkçe, what do you feel about what the Egyptians have achieved?
They have achieved a very good goal, and I think Mubarak made the right choice by going. And I hope that they choose a republic type, the Turkish type, the Turkish model for their government, and I hope all the groups have their voices in the new government.
never one to miss a public relations opportunity, and that has called on its female members to rally in Gaza, as well as students. Now here people are hoping that eventually a new government in Egypt will end the siege on Gaza, will reopen the Rafah border crossing, and take a much stronger position with Israel to push for a Palestinian state.
It's a happy day not only for Egyptians but for all Arabs when you see this unjust leader who participated for 4 years in besieging Gaza step down. He banned our children from traveling abroad to receive medical treatment. Women, children, the young, everyone is full of happiness for this Egyptian-Palestinian victory.
Okay, well, there you have it. The people at Gaza are, of course, ecstatic because Mubarak worked hand in glove with the Israelis to basically maintain the siege of that what's been termed the largest open-air ghetto in the world. And with Mubarak leaving, maybe there's some hope now for the people of Gaza. We're seeing, of course, these rebellions, these revolts spreading, even to Iraq, where the stooge Maliki, this government that was imposed on the people of Iraq by the United States and the neocons, there's popular revolts in cities around Iraq. They're complaining about the lack of infrastructure, the lack of food and clean water, corruption, which, of course, is at an all-time high in Iraq. We're seeing this spread to Algeria and Yemen, where the leaders, the dictators of those countries are in power because the United States has given them large amounts of military aid because they and us say, oh, they've got a threat from Al-Qaeda. These mythical Al-Qaeda franchises, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb. I mean, what are we going to hear next? Al-Qaeda in Disney World? I mean, it's ridiculous. Al-Qaeda is a mythical construct set up by the U.S. intelligence community, by the neocons to basically bring about this clash of civilizations that the neocons just love that idea that there's going to be this showdown. Now things are not working according to their plans because the people of Egypt and Tunisia and other countries are now rallying against these oligarchs, against the international banks, just like the people in Greece have done and in Italy and in the UK and in Ireland and in Iceland and elsewhere. It's showing that the Arabs get it as much as the Europeans, as much as the Latin Americans, and soon these dictators that the U.S. supports in Africa are going to go down one after another. Let's go to Irving. Irving, who's calling from Connecticut. Irving, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. You just got done saying that Al-Qaeda is a mythical construct?
Absolutely.
How ignorant can you possibly be?
Wait a minute. Robin Cook, the late Foreign Secretary of the UK, stated that Al Qaeda was nothing more than a CIA database of.
And who is this quack? Who is this quack that you're citing? Some jerk on some internet site?
Robin Cook was the Foreign Secretary of the United Kingdom.
When?
Under the Labour government, under Tony Blair. We'll come right back to Irving from Connecticut right after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, we're back. This is Wayne Masser from Washington, and we're back to your phone calls, and I think have Irving still on the line. Irving, are you with us?
I'm still with you, sir. Thank you.
Okay. I was talking about Robin Cook. Robin Cook, the foreign secretary of the UK, wrote an article in The Guardian stating that Al-Qaeda was nothing more than a CIA database of all the Mujahideen, the so-called Arab Afghans that fought the Soviets in Afghanistan during that war.
Let me ask you, is Osama bin Laden, when we see the videos of him, is this just a creation of Hollywood then?
Well, Osama bin Laden is probably dead. Let's presume that he's dead, all right?
For the sake of argument. He was alive, when we saw these videos of him, was that just sort of a Hollywood cartoon character, or he didn't really exist?
Well, there were some videos of bin Laden showing a very obese bin Laden. It looked nothing like the stock footage we saw from 1996 with bin Laden coming out of a cave in Afghanistan holding a satellite telephone in his hand.
There's no such thing as Osama bin Laden. There's no such thing.
Oh, there is
Al-Qaeda.
A bin Laden, and there was a bin Laden. Absolutely, there was a bin Laden. There was a bin Laden who fought with our forces, our CIA forces, the Mujahideen forces in Afghanistan against the Soviets. There is a bin Laden who was seen in the United States several times. In San Diego, he was known as Tim Osman when he was working for the agency. Yes, definitely.
Oh, my God. And I bet you Elvis Presley, I bet you saw him at the Burger King, too, right?
You are so ignorant, sir. You can put out all the talking points you get from the Fox News and the corporate media entities, but there's been a lot of research done by people who know a lot about the history of the Mujahideen and these various groups, some of which came out of Egypt. I would also note that Omar Suleiman actually conducted the census in Afghanistan and Pakistan in 1993, from which the CIA was able to compile that database that Robin Cook later referred to in the Guardian article.
Yeah, and so there is no such thing as Al-Qaeda, and there's no such thing as radical Islam, which poses a threat to the United States.
There are obviously radical Islamist people around the world, just like there's radical Christians on this planet, just like there's radical Jews on this planet, but we never hear about them. We're always focusing on Muslims, and they've been demonized by Hollywood and by the Wall Street Journal and by the Fox News of the world. And I think what's happening in Egypt and Tunisia is showing the world that the Arabs and the Muslims they can take care of their own problems without having dictators installed on them by Tel Aviv and Washington.
I'm really sick and tired of you and the entire media now. Is all trying to tell everyone that we should support these movements, you know, in Egypt, and we should all get behind the Islamists. I'm really sick and tired of it.
We're not getting behind the Islamic people. We're getting behind. You realize that 10% of Egypt is Coptic Christian, and they were also part of this revolution?
Do you realize, sir, that Muslims are killing Christians all around the world, in Asia?
I would note that the U.S. Army, which is predominantly Christian, is also killing a lot of Muslims around the world. And I would note that the Israel Defense Force has killed an awful lot of Arabs in Lebanon and in Palestine and sending hit teams to Dubai to kill somebody in a hotel room. So, you know, it works both ways, sir.
Yes, it does work both ways. And what you need to do is to quit listen to me, here's where you are such an ignoramus and where you reveal it for everyone to hear. When you say that Al-Qaeda is a fictitious entity, this is where you show how ignorant you are. Anyone who has studied knows that there is a tremendous threat from radical Islam to Christianity, to Judaism, and to America. And for you to sit here in front of people and deny it, and to claim that Al-Qaeda is a fictitious entity that was created by the Jewish media, this is where you reveal yourself to be a liar and a fraud.
I said it was an entity created by the CIA. If you want to say that the CIA is the Jewish media, go ahead. But I think I know that I hope you're getting paid for what you do, because I do know that there's a group called Give Israel Your United Support and the Megaphone, which does what's called seminar calls into various radio shows. They post things on blogs because they're pushing your agenda. And your agenda, by the way, your agenda is taking a big hit right now because people are waking up. They're not going to be looking at this divide and conquer clash of civilizations any longer. The game is over. The game is over, and what is happening across the North African and Middle East and soon throughout Africa and in Pakistan and elsewhere is going to show that that entire construct of the clash of civilizations and this divide and conquer mechanism is not working any longer. But thanks for your call. I want to go to this clip now. This is a clip about what's happening in some other countries, the next dictators in this stack of dominoes that's getting ready to fall, if we can play this clip here.
In Algeria, demonstrators try to force their way through a police cordon meant to stop them gathering for a protest. Thousands of officers are on the streets of Algiers to prevent the spread of any Egypt-style unrest. The government of President Abdelaziz Bouteflika said it had banned the rally for public order reasons and not to stifle dissent. There are reports of clashes between police and demonstrators, and a number of people were arrested when they arrived for the protest. Recent events in Tunisia and Egypt have led many to ask which country could be next.
Okay, let's go to the... That's what's happening in Algeria. That's probably going to be one of the next dictatorships to fall. I also want to play this quick clip here about what's happening today in Yemen.
Police tried to separate pro- and anti-government demonstrators in the Yemeni capital Sana'a on Saturday. A crowd of about 2,000 protesters collided with a counter-demonstration of supporters of President Ali Abdullah Saleh, which swept aside the police and chased the protesters down Sana'a's main streets, dispersing them. The pro-government crowd was armed with clubs and knives, and the clash followed an incident last night when a demonstration was broken up by gunmen. In that case, the security forces stood by. Earlier on Saturday, the anti-government protest occupied the capital and looked to be in the ascendancy. It took its original strength from about 300 students who gathered at the university before moving off and gathering support from other people.
Okay, the last three clips, the first one on reaction in Jordan and other places was from Al Jazeera, the last two from Euronews. Let's go to back to the phones. Helen is calling from Virginia. Helen, are you on the line?
I am. How are you tonight?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Fine.
Good. I am calling because I want to address Irving and give you support because I am one that is awakened, and I want Irving to understand, if I may, that what has occurred in Egypt is called freedom, and anybody who chooses to fearmong and scare the hell out of the American people with articles about the Muslim Brotherhood or whomever is just on the wrong side. And freedom is something our founding fathers fought tooth and nail and gave life for. And these people in Egypt did the same exact thing, and I am appalled by any American that refuses to allow a people to be free. It's just...
Oh, absolutely. And I would point out that the first two countries that recognized the free and independent United States were Arab countries. Morocco and Oman were the first to recognize the independence of those countries. So these people who try to demonize Arabs, and we've seen it, how many movies that had come out of Hollywood. Irving wanted to said, oh, you're pushing, you know, Al-Qaeda is a product of Jews. He said it. He said Jews that run Hollywood. So, you know, at least he was honest about that. Helen Thomas said that, and of course she paid a tremendous price for telling the truth. But isn't it nice? We never see movies about the Irgun, the Israeli, the Jewish terrorist organization that blew up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem in 1946, killing British police servicemen, Palestinians and Jews alike, all died in that bombing. And one of the participants was the father of Rahm Emanuel, soon to be, unfortunately, the next mayor of Chicago.
Well, I wasn't aware of all of that, but I thank you for that. And I also thank you for this radio broadcast. I thank you for all of the articles that you write to expose the underbelly of this cabal that continues to use hate and the Scofield Bible and those teachings and all of those other things that divide us Americans. And it's time for Americans to stop being divided, Wayne. We have
absolutely
got,
we have to stand with the people in the Arab and Muslim world that are now throwing off these dictators. In Mubarak's case, he was imposed by the United States, and he had this special relationship with Israel. The game has changed, and this whole thing about, you know, the Judeo-Christian civilization fighting these heathens, these Muslims, nobody's buying it. Anyone who has a semblance of education knows what's been going on here to divide and conquer these people around the world, and people are waking up. And thanks for your call, Helen. We have a lot of other callers waiting on the line. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling all the way from Australia.
Yeah, hi, Wayne.
Hi, Kevin.
The lady that was just on before me, she hits the nail right on the head. And as far as the information that you present on your show, it's as accurate as what you're going to get. In fact, your presentation of what's going on, as far as I'm concerned, and I study it pretty closely, you know, you are like 99.99% on the money.
Well, I don't get it all right, but I try to. But I wish some of these
take
networks
it to the bank.
I wish some of these networks would do real journalism too. But they, you know, they ignore things. You know, certain things they don't want to report on, which is all part of the propaganda deal.
Yeah, they're commercial operations that push a particular wheelbarrow, just like the gentleman that was on prior to the lady. In other words, two callers ago now, he had an agenda to get on your show and present his case. Now, he sounded like a Sabbath-keeping, kosher person, as I am. But that's not the point. At least I'm prepared to stand up and look at truth for what it is. You know, these little groups, well, I say they're little groups, these Christian groups that they're expecting this great big war in the Middle East.
Oh, absolutely. The Christian Zionists, John Hagee and his crowd. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, they love it.
Absolutely.
They just love it. And, you know, I think a lot of those groups are based down in the Texas area. And, you know, I mean, they can believe what they like. But when they go out of their way to, you know, cause militaries to... you know, go to war because of some ideological belief that they happen to believe, you know, God is not going to pat them on the back for their error. And as far as Al-Qaeda goes, I mean, Al-Qaeda was something that was purely made up to scratch an itch.
Right.
And you know, whenever I write the word Al-Qaeda, I always write that, you know, L as in E-double-L-E, K as in K-A-Y, and D as in Dur. You know,
yeah.
People who actually believe that are as thick as two bricks. And
yes, I always put Al-Qaeda in quotation marks. And I know some people refer to it as Al-Qaeda. But I think that's where Robin Cook was coming from. I mean, remember, as foreign secretary, he was in charge of both MI6, the British Foreign Intelligence Service, and GCHQ, the British Signals Intelligence Service. I would think somebody like Cook, who unfortunately is no longer with us, but I think somebody in that position would certainly have known all about the background of this particular group.
Oh, look, of course, you know, Al-Qaeda is a fabrication. To think that, and you know, half of the would-be 9/11 pilots, they're alive and well in Saudi Arabia and all you know, various other countries. And
well, right, we know that some of them said that their passports had been stolen.
Yeah, and that was the BBC. The BBC went and did an investigation, and they found all these characters still alive. Now, if these characters were flying the planes that smashed into the buildings on 9/11, how the hell can they possibly still be alive? Now, it is a complete fabrication. I mean, it all started with the neocons, you know, in their little make America the strongest nation for the next 100 years. Look, they couldn't give two hoots about America. All they want to do is use America to further their own
agendas,
which is...
I would say the neocons have done more to destroy America than this mythical construct of Al-Qaeda. Look what's happened on Wall Street. Look what's happened to the U.S. economy. Look what's happened to the U.S. dollar. I mean, they have destroyed America, not Al-Qaeda. I mean, they used Al-Qaeda to further their aims, their political goals, just as we've seen other groups like this used to further agendas through history. And this is just another example of it.
You know, Wayne, I'm agreeing with you there, but I'll take you up on one point. America has destroyed America, because if the American people would have concentrated on their Constitution, and they would have been watching very closely for these little groups with their little agendas, they would have known what was coming.
You're absolutely right. Anyway, thanks for calling all the way from Australia, Kevin, and we will be right back with your calls right after this short break. This is Wayne Manson from Washington.
Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Okay, back to the phones. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from the gem state of Idaho. Bill, are you on the line?
Bless you, Commander. Excellent as usual. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely admire your efforts for the Republic.
Thank you very much.
I can't begin to thank your whole entire team, and I know that you work with nothing but the best, obviously, but it would seem to me that if we didn't have those ladies that could identify the Irvings of the world, we would be in so much worse shape than we are. But I think our Lord has finally brought the appropriate resources together at these end times. Tuesday, February 8th of 2011, if LCIADA is having the effect that it is having on Second and Third World and all the Dumbo evangelifish.
Right. You know, well, I think we're seeing, we saw the dictator in Tunisia run off to Saudi Arabia with trying to grab as much money as he could, and now Mubarak trying to grab as much of his $70 billion as he can. And I think, you know, eventually it's going to be the Saudis are going to be getting out of there with their suitcases full of money, heading to their estates in France and Spain and England and Palm Springs. And
always makes it through Frankfurt right on over to GCHQ, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. But anyway, thanks for calling in from Idaho, Bill, and thanks for the kind words. I want to, before we hit the end of the hour here, play Glenn Beck, who doesn't seem to understand anything about what's going on. If we have enough time for this clip, I want to play this clip of Glenn Beck talking about chaos springing up in Egypt and elsewhere. The guy makes no sense, but you know, he's Fox News. If we can play this Glenn Beck.
Welcome clip. To the Glenn Beck program. I don't know if you remember, maybe you were in a coma, when Bush got heat for standing on the deck of an aircraft carrier with a big sign behind him that said, mission accomplished. Do you remember this? And everybody on the left said, how could you possibly do that? It's not accomplished. All you've done is destabilize the Middle East. Remember? Mission isn't accomplished, not until democracy takes hold. Well, today is a historic day. They're claiming, the press and the left, that democracy is happening. I found it so ironic as I was watching the press coverage today that standing behind one of the reporters had this sign in the square behind him. Mission accomplished. No. Chaos has begun. This is the beginning. What they started today is the beginning of God knows what. What's between today and a stable government is anyone's guess.
Well, there you go. Glenn Beck, who's paid by Rupert Murdoch. These individuals are now worried. Their nice little world is collapsing around them. People are waking up and discovering the truth. We need to ensure that Fox News goes the way of the pet rock and the hula hoop, that it was a passing fad, and that people will just turn them off, don't pay them any attention, do not give any business to their advertisers. If your cable company carries them, switch off your cable, get your news from the internet. That's how we're going to hurt these people. Their world is coming to an end, and they know it, and they're lashing out like Beck did with that ridiculous comment. He made no sense whatsoever, but nobody at Fox News does. Anyway, that will do it for this week, and thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with you this time next week from Washington, D.C. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup.